Last couple weeks we've been talking about salvation. Does anybody remember that salvation the last couple weeks? Oh, good, good. You guys are paying attention. Okay. And we've been talking about what does it mean to be saved? What are we saved from? How does it all work? And I was kind of secretly hoping that some people would maybe just a little bit question their salvation. Maybe just a little bit say, maybe I need to think a little bit deeper about this issue. But nobody called me this week saying, Pastor, I'm having a spiritual crisis. Please help me understand all of this. So I'm praying that that means that you took to heart what I said, but you also recognized that you have made that commitment to Christ in your life, that you have truly made a commitment to follow Him. And so while you listened, you recognized that, yes, you are a child of God and you have His Spirit within you. This morning, I'm going to kind of shift gears. We're going to go from salvation to talking about discipleship, because that's really what the heart of the gospel is. It's not about getting saved. It's about becoming a disciple. And we can go to where we'll start is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so here our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before He ascended up into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God, He gives His disciples this commission, this mission for the church, and it was to go and make disciples. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." What is the difference between a disciple and somebody who's saved? Hopefully nothing. But the difference that I want to draw is that salvation is something you obtain. A disciple is something you are. A disciple is something you become. It is part of your essence. It is a defining attribute of your identity. A disciple is who you are. Well, we're going to look a little bit deeper into that. What is a disciple? The first thing a disciple of Christ is one that dies to self. Luke 9, 23 and 24, "Then He said to them all," Jesus said, "if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it." A disciple is one who looks at Christ and says, "That is what I want. What He has to offer is what I want to become. And there's nothing in my life that is more important than what He has to offer. And so I'm willing to let go of everything. There's nothing that I'm going to hold on to save what He tells me to." We see an example of this in John chapter 3. It says, "There arose a dispute between some of John's disciples," this is John the Baptist, "and the Jews about purification. And they came to John the Baptist and said to him, 'Rabbi, He who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, talking about Jesus, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. The idea is, oh, hey, John, by the way, remember that guy Jesus that you did that thing, and he baptized, and the dove thing came down, and remember all that stuff? Well, that guy's over there, and he's like, oh, everybody's following him now. Aren't you kind of upset about that? Because, you know, you're supposed to be, you know, doing your thing. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John got it. He said, no, I'm not jealous at all. I couldn't be more thrilled. I couldn't be more excited. That what I've been working for has finally come to fruition. The Christ is here, and he is doing the things that have been foretold. And I love that example of the bride and the bridegroom, right? The best man, he's not upset because the bride's getting all the attention. The best man's there to celebrate the groom, right? And the bride. He's excited for them. He wants to see this union happen. And the best man is saying, yes, this is good. And so John the Baptist, in the same way, is saying, he must increase, I must decrease. And that's what a disciple of Jesus says. In my life, I must play a smaller role. And God must play a bigger role. How does that happen? Training. Now, as Baptists, that's really not a word we like to hear very much, because we're more about potlucks than about training. But it is an important part of discipleship. Luke chapter 6, verse 40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. As a disciple of Christ, our job is to study to become more like Christ. John 8, 31 through 36 is one of my favorite passages. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus says, if you want to be a disciple, you have to abide in my word. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. What does it mean to abide in his word? Well, if you were from the South, you would have heard your mother say, you better do what I told you to do. Right? That essentially is, abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed. Right? Abide means to study, to know it, and to obey it. Abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When we study God's word, we were talking in our phone call between Samson and Safi and I this week, we were talking about 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at that next week. But one of the things that we were talking about is knowledge. And the word knowledge, the idea of knowledge is that it's a light. It shines a light. When we have understanding, it gives us like a light to our path. right? When it's dark and you want to, how do I get from this side of the room to the other side of the room without stumbling, without falling? What do? We turn on the light so that we can see the path, right? We know from Psalm that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The knowledge of God gives us the light that we need to see in our life. So when we study God's word, it gives us the truth, and so that we can see. And his disciples wanted the truth. They were with him on that part. And then he said, the truth will make you free. And that's where they lost him. They said, well, what are you talking about? We're already free. What do you mean? A disciple is one who is in training, studying God's word, growing in knowledge, applying that knowledge to his life, and becoming free. Free from the law, free from sin. A disciple is not just one who is training. Right? I was at Walmart, a month ago. And I walked up to the guy who was greeting, and they got the sign there that says, please practice social distancing. And I said, I got a question for you. When are we going to stop practicing and really start social distancing? I said, because you can only practice for so long, and you just, you know, you get weary from practicing. I was like, did you ever have a team get together, softball team maybe, and they just practice the whole year and never played a single game? That doesn't make any sense. We got to actually start playing the game. And for a disciple, we actually have to start doing the things that we're studying, that we're told to do by our Christ, by our Lord. If we just go to church, if we just sing the songs and we say, yeah, that is an amazing truth, and then we leave here and we never actually put it into practice, we're not really a disciple. We're not really a disciple. The disciple is the one who learns and then applies it, and that teaching, that application bears fruit. John 15:7-8 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Other translations say, so it will prove that you are my disciples. But the idea here is that as we abide in Christ, as we understand, as we grow in knowledge, and his word abides in us, it takes root into our hearts, and it becomes fruitful. It actually makes an impact into our life. And then we bear fruit. John 15:9-17 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. A disciple of Christ is not just one who prays a prayer and then goes back about his life. A disciple of Christ is not one who just goes through the motions and learns the language and says, oh yeah, that's what I do on Sunday morning. I go to church. And the rest of the week, I just do whatever I want. That's not a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ is one who practices, who studies, who learns, who applies, who is actually in the process of becoming like Christ. First Timothy 5, 3-8 says, "Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. These things command that they be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." What is Paul saying here? Well, back then, the widows would become a part of the church. They would stay at the church. They would live at the church. They would be fed by the church, cared for by the church, and at expense to the church. And Paul is saying, hey, if there are widows who have children that can take care of their mother, that's what should be happening. They shouldn't be putting that off onto the church to pay for. And so he's saying that we have earthly responsibilities here, and if we're not going to fulfill them, right, if we're not going to take care of those who God has entrusted us to take care of, what does he say? You have denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. Why? Because the unbeliever still cares for his mother, right? Even in his unbelief, even though he's an enemy against God, he still actually has that familial love. And so we also, as followers of Christ, must fulfill our earthly responsibilities. We must care for those who God has given us to care for. Becoming a Christian is not an excuse to go out and do whatever we want to do. We still must do the things that God has commanded us to do. So the crux of the issue comes down to this question: are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? What does that mean? What can I look at in my life to answer that question? Well, let's look at a few examples. Acts 2, 42 through 47 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," that's the New Testament, "and fellowship," that's potlucks, "and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." When we read Scripture, Scripture is an account of what happened in the early church. Well, Acts, this particular passage, is an account of what happened in the early church. Some of it is descriptive, meaning it gives a description of what happened. Some of it is prescriptive, prescribing what we ought to do. Okay? So there's a difference here. Some of it is what they did, meaning they did it and we don't necessarily have to do it. Some of it is what they did and we ought to do it. Right? And so in here we see this is what they did. Some of it we should copy, some of it not so much, because they were in a different situation, a different time. So when it says here, "Now they all believed and were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need," what happened in the early church was, if you became a follower of Christ, you were kicked out of your family. You left the family business. You had no way to provide for yourself. And so here, what it meant to leave Christ was to leave all. It meant to totally leave everything that you had built your life upon. And so people had nothing. They were coming to the church, and the church was providing their daily needs. Now, we don't have that here in our country yet. Thankfully, we have a free country where people can believe what they want to believe. They can worship God. But it does mean that we should help those in need. We can see that from many other passages of Scripture, that we should help those in need. But we don't necessarily have to sell everything that we have to give to the church. But what should we do? Continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We ought to follow the example of studying the apostles' doctrine, of fellowship, of breaking bread together, of praying together and apart. We ought to have this idea of caring so much for each other that when one has a need, we want to help fulfill that need. We want to do everything we can to care for each other. And we want to live our life together with thankfulness and gladness of heart. Those are the marks of a disciple. Other marks is faithfully understanding the truth. As we study God's word, we don't say, oh, this is what God means, which is really just what I wanted it to mean to begin with, right? Re-understanding it, reinventing the meaning, but instead being faithful to what God's word says and to apply it to our life. 1 Timothy 2, 14 and 15 says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have a responsibility as disciples, as we study God's word, to seek the truth. Not what the world tells us is true, but what God says is true. Another mark that you can look at your life and say, yes, I am a disciple, is that you should see the fruit of love in your life. The fruit of love. John 13 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That might require a bit of a heart check. Do I truly love the person sitting next to me this morning? The test, one of the tests that Jesus gives us is, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We ought to see God's love in our life. But not just love, right? All the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we're disciples, if we're dying to self, if we crucified our flesh and we're no longer seeking to fulfill our own lusts and passions, if we're following God with our life and we're seeing His work in our hearts, then we ought to see the fruit of that Spirit. We ought to see love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that as we examine our life, Lord, that we would seek not just salvation, although that is a worthy thing to seek, but Lord, that we would become disciples of you. Lord, that we would become followers of you. Lord, that we would become like you as we follow you. Lord, I pray that as we think about salvation, as we think about discipleship, Lord, that we would not only think about our life, but we would think about others as well. A disciple is not just one who follows, but Lord, one who leads others. And each one of us have a testimony, a story that we live out in front of those around us. And so, Lord, I pray that each one of us, as we pursue you, Lord, other people would see that love. Other people would see the things that we do. And they would recognize that we are doing it to honor you, honor and glorify you. So, Lord, I pray that they would then also glorify you as our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.